Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 40. I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
I'm Tim.
And we're here to talk about some topics this week. I think, Alex, you go first with your topic is related to trailers, and they usually play before everything else. So let's talk about the trailers recently this past month.
So I think just this week alone, there were several big trailers. Spider-Man came out, Baywatch, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Fast and Furious just came out yesterday. Or I guess The Fate and the Furious.
The fate of the fucking Christ.
I feel like somebody went into Universal and was like, hey guys, I have this great pun for the title of the new movie. It's F8, like fate. And for some reason, the executives were asleep or something. They were like, yeah, let's do that. So The Fate and the Furious titles haven't been that great, Too Fast, Too Furious, but like The Fate. What? Like, I don't know. It just sounds lame. Like, it's not, it doesn't sound like a car racing. It's not really car racing anymore, but you know. Doesn't really sound like a heist movie.
All the movies have had different titles.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has been different in some way.
Yeah.
Like Fast and Furious was 4. Too Fast, Too Furious, obviously. Tokyo Drift. But then there was like, Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah,
Fast and Furious 6 and then Fast 5 and then like Furious,
Fast
5, 7.
Furious 7.
Yeah. Furious 7. Yeah. At one point they said that just that the title was going to be Furious 8. So we were like, okay. And then I had no idea that they were like, oh, it's The Fate. I don't really, okay, I don't know much of the series, but all I know is that honestly, the executives, like, they don't care.
Apparently.
A lot of them haven't seen the movies.
Well, they know they make money, that's all they care
that's
about.
That's the thing, and that's why, like, if they think that that's gonna work, then they're just gonna put it in. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't really watching them after 2 or 3. I actually really liked 3, but 2 was really bad, 4 was okay. And then I kind of started hearing that they had gotten good again. So I watched, I think it was 5. 5 was awesome with the safe going through Rio. And 6 was okay. I cried in 7 because of Paul Walker. I mean, the end was great. And the plane thing was awesome. So I was like kind of excited for this one. I was like, how are they going to do it without Paul Walker? And the trailer was like, I don't know. They gave away a lot in the trailer. And I was hopeful because it has Kurt Russell and Charlize Theron and Helen Mirren and all these big people. And I'm like, they don't need money. They're doing this because it's a good movie. And I'm like, apparently not, maybe, like, I don't know.
Again, I mean, I haven't really seen much of the movies, so I don't really know how it actually looks. It just seems like, for someone who doesn't watch the movies, there's nothing in it that made me like, oh, I want to actually see this one. Furious 7, I definitely did, because I was like, Paul Walker, how are they going to do that? And it actually looked like it was going to be something that kind of plucks on your heartstrings a little bit.
Mm-hmm,
this one just seems like they ran out of ideas and decided like, oh, they're family, but they're going to just turn on each other. Also, this is going to cause problems. Like, just as a guide at Universal, they just have Fast and Furious Supercharged, where it's all about, no, you're part of our family, blah, blah, blah. And now if this is really how it goes down, then like,
I feel like what it's going to be is like he's brainwashed or something. Like, I don't know.
Looks
it's
like
be something like that.
Yeah, this series obviously took a no pun intended, right turn. Or left turn, I should say. This series took a left turn with its theme. And not only the theme, I should say more of the kind of type of movie it was.
Mm-hmm.
So Fast 5, 6, and 7 were really fun. And 7 was, you know, pretty sad. And it's interesting how they pulled off with body doubles and his brother. How they made Paul Walker work in the film. But I was so disinterested in 8's trailer. Mm-hmm. I did not give a shit. I was like, okay, I'm done with this series. Like, I jumped in. I still haven't seen 4, but I did a challenge in 2015 where I watched a movie for every day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to watch that I had never seen. So I watched over 365 movies I had never seen before. I ended up with 368, but it was hard to get through. But I watched a lot of the Fast and Furious that I'd never seen. I'd seen 1 to 3, and then I hadn't seen any more until that year. So I watched them all up to 7. I was so turned off by this trailer. I'm like, I'm so done with this. Like, especially that. This whole thing's always about family. They say family a fucking 100 times per movie.
Uh-huh.
And then
you
somehow
play a drinking game.
Somehow Vin Diesel's not in it. And like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Or you mean Paul Walker. But
no, Vin Diesel. He's not in the family anymore. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
and maybe they'll have Jason Statham as part of the team now, because they usually do this. They have like some kind of enemy, like The Rock was in 5, and now they're friends, part of the team. It just seems so.
I feel like they're like, hey, you're fun to work with. Let's have you in all the movies.
Well, also, you know that like about the whole on set squabbles that Rock and Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard something about it. Yeah,
like The Rock put up a whole tweet about, or a Facebook post or something about it, and he was totally calling someone out. I don't know if it was during Fast 7 or a Furious 7 or if it was actually during the filming of 8. Whatever it was, they haven't been getting along for the past few movies.
Interesting.
I wonder if he'll die in this one.
So I don't know if that was what fueled this and like have one of them leave the series. Yeah. I don't know.
That could totally be it.
But then like I feel like if in the way that this is going, it looks like that Vin Diesel's going to be the one to kind of get cut out if he's the villain right now.
I don't think they can go without Vin Diesel right now.
That's the thing. So like,
yeah,
he at my internship, they're telling me he has so much like value in China. Like anytime you put Vin Diesel in a movie, it makes so much money over there. Like
The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah. Anything you just put Vin Diesel in it, and it'll make so much money.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they could afford.
They can't afford to. Yeah.
Well, he's one of the original too, so you can't go without him. You know,
it's like he lost like one. The Rock. You can't go without the other one.
Yeah. So whatever it is, it just looked to me like another one of the like summer blockbusters that if I had time for it, I'll just go see it. Even if I haven't seen anything, because I kind of know the whole thing anyways at this point. I am pretty excited for Charlize Theron, though, because she's a good villain.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the War for the Planet of the Apes? Because I know it was one of your most anticipated.
Yeah, so I like the series since it has been rebooted. I mentioned that before, but this trailer was pretty good, except for that one line.
Yeah.
Where it's just really cheesy. Yeah.
Is it that last one where it was the
planet for the apes, sort of the hell it was, yeah.
If we lose this one, then it will truly be a planet of the apes,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah, it's like, come on. It just seems like Woody Harrelson's really playing it up and hamming it up, so I don't know. It's going to be fine, I guess, but...
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are these apes living longer than humans now? Is that the thing? Like, because they've had different people in each one, and I feel like the generations die out and the apes are still there. Like,
I don't know if they die out or not. I think it might just be, like, 10 years later or something. I don't know.
Or they're being killed or something, or they're just dying.
Because, like, I don't know if Jason Clarke was even approached to come back to this film after the second one. I don't know.
But that shot of him walking on the beach I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It looked great.
Definitely evocative of the old school, like, you know, the beach scene at the end of the first one.
Oh, yeah. But, that's true.
But, I don't know. I'm really starting to feel like worried about blockbusters of next year.
Yeah,
like I mentioned before.
This year sucked. So hopefully next. I was hoping next year would be better. But
what do we have coming out next year though?
Logan.
Well, that's March. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But this
or blockbusters of next year. So it'll be a blockbuster.
I mean, you got the Spider-Man, Guardians 2, War for the Planet of the Apes. You have
Furious. The fate of the Furious.
Cars 3.
Yeah, that'll be a blockbuster, right, in terms of merchandise.
So, I mean, there's a lot
coming. Star Wars 8.
We
forgot about that last time.
Yeah, we did forget about that last time. We were recording.
Oh, man, yeah.
We didn't even talk about it.
Totally didn't. Oh, man.
I know, I was like, how did we forget this?
Right? Star Wars every year now.
I think we were probably just focused on Rogue One.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about Star Wars 8.
That's true.
Yeah. But
I think the thing that lifted my hopes, I know you haven't seen it yet, so we'll try and do it with a spoiler. Spider-Man trailer. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was a cool feel.
I like that he's young again, he's back in high school. They're like, you're a loser again, you know.
I'm indifferent about the high school thing, but all right.
I feel like Tom Holland's my favorite Spider-Man, though, so
me too.
I'm pretty excited about it. Like, he was...
Sorry, Toby.
I don't know if I can fully say that until I've seen the full movie with him.
Yeah. But I feel like of all the... I mean, Tobey Maguire definitely was an amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was.
But not the amazing...
Not the amazing Spider-Man. No. And then with Andrew Garfield, he was just too cool for school. Like, I felt like he was... just too much of a cool kid for Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And I feel he, like, Tom Holland is an appropriate, like, he looks like, if you dress him up, he's going to look great, but he also can be the loser kind of in high school.
And he is perfect equipped. He's really awkward. It's really in a good way. Like, it definitely fits the character.
Yeah. And his acting jobs are amazing. Did you guys see The Impossible?
I haven't yet.
Oh my gosh. Like,
you mean from visionary director J.A. Bayona?
That's, oh, really?
Yeah, he directed that.
Wow.
He did three films, and that, I mean, The Monster Calls looks fun, but...
Yeah. But it was fantastic. Like, he was so young then.
Yeah, it was 2011.
Yeah, and so him, Naomi Watts, and Ewan McGregor, like, just... It was heartbreaking, and he did such a good job, so I was like, I hope he gets work after that, and then now it's freaking Spider-Man. And I'm like, yep, nope, he's gonna do a good job, and when I saw him in Civil War, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, he looks awesome.
I'm kind of interested to see how they use the dynamic of him and Tony Stark, because Iron Man's in the film.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much of a role he... I know he had to sign an additional contract for this film because it wasn't part of his original thing, even the Civil War rewrite. But I don't know how much of him will be in here. Like, I'm kind of hoping he's relegated just to kind of like a light mentor role. I don't want him to be in it too much, like take away from Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, from what I got from the trailer was that he's trying to prove to Tony Stark that he can do this.
Yeah.
So...
Yep.
I don't know if we probably won't see him in the suit at all. I would hope not.
Wasn't
Spider-Man?
He was in a scene.
He was in a scene with a suit
with
on.
With the suit on?
Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, wow.
At the end, they're flying. He's swinging next to him.
I just, yeah. I mean, I just saw a frame of it, and that was right. Iron Man flying and Spider-Man swinging.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Which is like, I think it's a fan, like the money shot, essentially, for fans. Like, that's what I thought it was.
I hated how, like, the Iron Man 2 was, you know, both of them. Mm-hmm. They kind of defeated them together. And I feel like the Spider-Man movie, he's got to be able to do this on his own for it to be a Spider-Man movie, you know? I feel like Iron Man, I'd be kind of pissed if Iron Man came in and helped him defeat the Vulture kind of thing.
Well, this is interesting, too. There is talk about, I'm not sure if it's officially talked about, if Kevin Feige mentioned it in an interview, but I think he did. They want to kind of explore these little, like, team-up movies, essentially, mm-hmm. where this is, like, Iron Man and Spider-Man, and then later on, Ragnarok next year, Thor and Hulk, and that kind of stuff. Because it does, it's almost like the Spider-Man team-up comic series. I mean, it gives you more of, like, a diverse, like, smaller-scale team-up that doesn't need the entire team. Mm-hmm. You know, like, sure, Iron Man would obviously overpower Vulture. I mean, it's kind of without question. But, I think there's an interesting line there. Sorry, again, Tim.
It's okay.
There's an interesting line where he's like, don't worry about the creepy bird guy.
Yeah.
Well, there's people there to handle it. So I'm not sure if that's going to fall apart and he'll have to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, who's going to stop him? I mean, who's not busy enough to... Maybe he'll have a sentry unit take out or try to take out Vulture. I don't know. We'll see. But
I think the Thor-Hulk team-up makes sense because it's like, what were they doing during Civil War? And mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, this is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think they can't do another Thor movie with just Thor because they were awful.
I didn't think it wasn't that bad. I liked both of them, but they just weren't as like epic as the rest of the Marvel films, you know?
I think the second one was my least favorite. Really?
Of all of the Marvel movies.
The first one was my least favorite.
The second Thor.
Oh, okay. My least favorite Marvel movie is Avengers 1. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You guys are like, I'm going to kill him.
I could see Avengers 2, but not Avengers 1.
No, I'm trying to think. I think it is Thor. Thor 1, maybe?
Thor 1 was my least favorite. Just because, I mean, like, it was a great stepping stone for it, but then as a standalone film, I was like, I can't. And it was Kenneth Branagh who directed it. And I'm like, Kenneth Branagh directing a Thor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to make sense on paper, but it didn't really pay off.
I didn't even see how that made sense on paper.
Well, he's more like in the... Asgard's more like almost Victorian in a way, and how they present themselves and speak, it's very old school Shakespeare-like kind of thing. I guess that's what they were thinking when they hired him.
It's also Marvel with so much CGI, effects, and like, they didn't utilize any of that well.
They never showed enough of Asgard either.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because like, that's, if you get someone like Kenneth Branagh to direct it, that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's why it was a good stepping stone where it didn't show too much, which is why in the second one you could show a lot of Asgard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
then we had the trailer for Baywatch. And I thought they were going to play Baywatch as more of like true to the show's kind of storyline. I know there wasn't much storyline. It's more tits bouncing, but
I've never seen the show.
I saw episodes.
Is it serious or is it a comedy?
It's kind of serious. It's like I don't remember much about it. Honestly, I remember the tits bouncing. That's about it. But there wasn't much to the plot. I think it was almost like a procedural in a way.
About saving people in the
beach. I think so. I don't know. There's some weird shit, but I couldn't tell you. But I thought they would go more serious in that kind of regard. And then they're going more 21 Jump Street, even trying to rip off the trailer saying, oh, we have to re-help the brand of Baywatch. I'm like, well, that's just fucking stupid. You're not going to do this right. Mm-hmm. And then Zac Efron comes on screen. It's definitely more like Neighbors vibe than it is 21 Jump Street. Right. It just feels like weird.
Neighbors meets 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Which are both... I mean, I like both of those movies.
Absolutely.
But this trailer was just not good.
No.
It just doesn't look like a good movie in general. Like, I mean, the only reason I know Baywatch is because of Friends, because they're like, oh, look at Yasmin Bleeth.
Same thing. Yeah.
But, like, other than that, the trailer didn't really seem to reflect the show at all.
No,
so, like, might as well just do a completely new movie.
Just call it something else.
Yeah, but I understand this whole need for, which is dipping into your thing, but then I know that the whole need for franchise, but like Baywatch wasn't a big international hit though, was it? Like the
I don't think
I
so.
I feel like it's pretty famous.
I mean, people know of it, but then like it definitely didn't cross over to Asia.
I mean, I know Dwayne Johnson does.
But like, I mean, the need to keep it as Baywatch. Oh, yeah. You know, like, what's the benefit of having it as Baywatch? Because Zac Efron does pretty well in China, too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
He does well everywhere.
I mean, just take a shirt off.
I just think that, I think they're trying to find any name they can use nowadays to make some kind of recognition.
Yeah.
Hoping there's some kind of audience built in already. Executives are afraid to make these kinds of steps now without some kind of
guarantee
affiliation.
Yeah.
Well, on my internship, there was a time they had to send them a list of brand of like title, a book, or anything that has like a fan base.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it can be a small fan base or a big fan base, but we just need to find something that hasn't been made into a movie.
Yeesh.
So you need some guarantee that somebody will go to the theater and see it.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, I interned at a company as well for De Laurentiis. They did Hannibal. And they were asking us to come up with a couple things, be like, or they would actually give us a couple topics and be like, research this to see like what's there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you need that fan base and you need that guaranteed profit pretty much, because
it's expensive and it's risky now to make a movie.
And that's why you get a lot of those actors where, like, you know, when Exodus came out with
Gods and Kings.
People were furious that they had Christian Bale, Joel Edgerton, Sigourney Weaver in it, and they were like, why didn't you put actual Egyptian people in there? And I'm like, do you realize that the amount of money that they're spending on this and how much they're going to actually make back if you put someone who's actually Egyptian? Because who do we know that's actually Egyptian? Like, we don't know any actors that you can think of.
I only say Arnold Vosloo because he played the mummy, and I don't think he's even Egyptian.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't get a lot of people from these specific places that you can actually put on screen and get a guaranteed revenue.
Yeah.
Especially internationally. But then if you put Christian Bale and put Sigourney Weaver in a movie, it's going to sell in China. Like, it's going to sell in Korea.
I mean, what about, what's his name from The Double? I know he's not Egyptian, but...
The Double?
The one about the Saddam Hussein's body double?
I don't know. I never saw it. Didn't hear about this.
But, like, you know, they just don't do that. And so when people get so angry about trying to cast like that, I'm like, you can't really... It's a business. Mm-hmm. Filmmaking is a complete business. So it's not like you can just do whatever you want. And also, again, they're not selling to an American audience anymore. This is all marketed towards an international audience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would you say people said, the argument to get to that, then is like, well, don't make the film then.
Well, then they're trying to make a movie that's going to make money. So what else are they going to do? Like, if they already started
Yeah, exactly.
The ball's already rolling.
Yeah.
So, like, the amount of people that they already had to pay to get the rights to the movie, to even start all that stuff, which a lot of movies do. But then as soon as actors sign on, they already get a guaranteed amount of money, even if they don't shoot the film. Even if the film gets canceled, they have a guaranteed amount of money that they get. So who wants to cancel a movie when they know they can actually make some money off of it? Especially in a business point of view.
And realistically, the only place you could ever get the actors that are true to the area are British people.
I'd say that, but then, like, you know, even when it comes to America, though, people don't really get a lot of people who are from this area, even. Like, if you saw Loving, Joel Edgerton is Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth Negga, is she British?
I don't know, because I've only ever seen her like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that, so I couldn't tell you.
She's Ethiopian.
She is. Yes. You know?
Yes.
One of my best friends is an editor at Hollywood Reporter, and he did a whole thing on her, and he loves her because he's from Ethiopia. That's right.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, you get people who are playing American people from the South, and neither of them are from America. And, like, you see that, like, even when we just talked about all the Marvel movies, I was looking people up. Thor, Chris Hemsworth, Australian.
Doctor Strange,
Benedict Cumberbatch, British. Tom Holland, British.
Is he British?
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah. Did you say Hiddleston already?
Tom Hiddleston, British.
Yep.
Black Panther, is he?
Black Panther.
Oh, he's British, I think.
Even if, and like Star Wars, you know, very British cast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many people who are like, oh, well, you know, like they don't have the accent, so just bring it back to America. But I'm like, okay, let's see who the American actors that we have are, like who are famous or.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, no, Chadwick is from America, but he is playing in Chadwick? South African. Yeah, Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, he's Black American, okay.
Wonder Woman is Israeli.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, I just feel like of the, again, people get so angry that these people are being portrayed with, you know, like, Charlize Theron, South African.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're getting a lot of people who aren't from America, and but then these are all the recognizable names now. So there are people who are like, oh, well, you need to cast correctly, and then now we're like pulling from international people, and now they're like, you need to cast from America. I'm like, you got, no one's gonna be happy about it. But then I think the big difference between or any of these actors is that when you go to England, you know, a lot of, if you look at their actors, like if you look at Benedict Cumberbatch, he's not traditionally handsome like you'd see in like a classic Hollywood movie. But then his talent is so incredible that people are so attracted to him because of that.
Have you seen that SNL skit about why Benedict Cumberbatch is hot?
Yeah. No, I didn't actually.
He's like weird so looking good. And stuff.
Yeah.
He's just super nice and then he gets attractive.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like America kind of has gone from, like, American talent has become so focused on looks that people are booking so many jobs and they don't deserve it, like, because they're so bad. And I think that's why, like, all the popular people, they just don't, a lot of them don't get, there is a big pool to pull from because now there are a lot of actors who are really good, but then to break through in Hollywood, you have to have the look.
I think, and if you don't have the look, you go into comedy.
Yeah, that's why, like, you don't see any Asian American actor. Like, honestly, there's not a single Asian American actor that are big in Hollywood right now. Like, the only one that you'd see would be, like, Steven Yeun from Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, like, up and coming is Randall Park.
But see, he, I don't even know who he is.
He played Kim Jong-un in the interview.
Yeah, yeah.
He played, he was in Office Christmas Party. He's in Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay, like yeah.
That's right, yeah.
But then, again, not romantic leads, nothing like that. Like, the only one recently that I saw, he's a Canadian actor. Oh, another one. Ryan Gosling's Canadian.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
I feel like that almost counts, though. It's like, it's right
well,
there.
Well, kind of. If you saw Edge of 17, her love interest is Asian. He's an Asian man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's one of the first ones that you actually see in, like, any kind of thing like this where they're actually the romantic lead. Mm-hmm. But even then, they don't paint him as this attractive guy. He's kind of the good friend that she eventually sees as someone that's a romantic interest.
So there was a show with Karen Gillan. I can't remember what it's called. It wasn't really good, but John Cho played her love interest.
He John
was
Harold. Cho,
big Asian actor, yeah.
Harold. There was also a show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The lead is...
Oh,
lead.
Yes. But then again, none of these people are, like, serious. They don't portray them as a love interest. You know, they're just seen as the goofy side character or the comedian, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you don't, you get a lot of amazingly talented Asian actors, like Ming-Na Wen. She's been around for ages, and people still don't know what her, who she is until you say she was the voice of Mulan.
She was Chun-Li in Street Fighter.
She was, and she's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's going to be in the new Star Trek movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What happened to, what's his name, from Lost?
Daniel Day-Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, like, again,
yeah,
if you think of the people who are, like, really getting out there, you don't think of any of these people. And, like, who are the Hispanic leads, too? Like, we don't really see a lot of people.
Michael Pena.
Yeah, you get a couple people when you start getting into that area. Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like the look, people have such an idea of what, like, is attractive. And it's kind of sad to say a lot of the people that get an audience are the people who are attractive. So they don't put someone in there who's not traditionally attractive. They don't take risks like people like Benedict Cumberbatch.
How do you feel about, what's the name of that movie with Scarlett Johansson's coming out next year? The Matrix was based
on? Ghost in the Shell. I'm a little indifferent to that. People were so angry.
Yeah.
It looked weird. I don't know the series at all. I was thrown off by, like, I mean, if it was just her and everyone else is Asian, great. Mm-hmm. But then it's not. Like, all the leads are a different race.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Asian. So I'm like, I don't know much about it, so I don't have a strong opinion. I will say the one with RZA, Russell Crowe, the...
Rizzo?
No, Rizzo, yeah. Whoever it was. I don't remember. The Man with the Iron Fists.
Yeah. Yep. Golden Fist. Iron. No, it's Iron. I think it's Iron.
I think. The person who was like the big Shaolin master was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a story that takes place in Asia. And these people, like, great, get Russell Crowe in there. Get whoever the lead was in there. But then at least have the person who they're going to be an Asian man. It is a lot of the studios is not taking the risks for it.
It's like a lot of black people playing slaves or thugs. They can't get out of that most times. You know, it's unfortunate.
That is actually a movement that's progressing. You know, people are trying to get more of that into a role where it's not slaves or thugs.
Yeah. Well, they're ahead of the Asian community. I'm just saying that they were like that for a long time, too.
Yeah. And I think that in, like, that's why you get people like John Boyega from England, you know, who's a nobody, but then he was given a chance.
Attack the block.
Huh?
Attack the block.
Yeah.
And then he got Star Wars.
And
I was surprised people weren't more mad about Tilda Swinton from Doctor Strange.
People were pretty mad.
People were, but then at the same time, like, as soon as you saw her on screen, you forgive everything. Like, I feel like she did such a great job as that. It didn't bother me. Like, as soon as I saw her on screen in the trailers, I was like, she did such a good job. A lot of the people that I know who are Korean or Chinese, like, a lot of them were like, I wasn't bothered by that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the problem, too. Like, that's why people argue they're placating to the international markets. Because the master is supposed to be Tibetan. That's
right.
They didn't want to do that to it would have been banned, I think, in China.
Oh, it would have been, for sure.
So that's why I didn't want
to
do that.
The movie 7 Years in Tibet, the DVD, was not allowed to be sold in China. Jeez. Like, you couldn't buy it anywhere. I still haven't seen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I couldn't find it because I grew up in China.
Oh, you grew up in China?
Yeah, cool. I spent 13 years there and I just couldn't find it anywhere because it wasn't allowed. So, like, they have to think of an international audience. And so, like, all the decisions that they make, I understand. And people are like, well, then they need to change the system. But I'm like, well, that really just...
That takes a lot.
That does. It, like, Hollywood's been around for over 100 years now.
Yeah.
So you can't just willy-nilly change the system and expect everywhere else to catch onto it. Because the rest of the world, like Asia, their standards of art is different right now. Because they're catching up to how blockbusters were here when it first started getting big. Like, you know, when I was there in, like, 2006, 2008, that time... The huge movies were coming out in theaters. Like, I saw some of the Harry Potter movies, like, from the fourth one on. None of the Lord of the Rings movies made it over.
Huh.
And none of the Star Wars movies made it over. So before Episode 7 came out, they did the first screenings on the big screen in China of the original trilogy.
Hmm.
Wow.
I know they're re-releasing Terminator 2 next year, mostly for China, because it never got to China.
Yeah. Weird. So it's a huge market over there. And, like, I mean, Hollywood is slowly moving over there, too, which is terrifying. Like, Legendary Pictures was bought out by China.
Mm-hmm.
They're building that huge water, like, set in Hong Kong, I think. I don't know. People get so angry with these foreign actors, but I'm like, eh.
It's kind of a double standard.
It is.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, just not switching topics, but, like, American people don't go to the theaters anymore. Like, because it's not a new thing anymore. Like, it's not something, and it's so expensive now.
Well, there's actually that, there's this program that the guy who developed, I think it's Napster, is working on. You can almost rent a movie that's out in theaters and just watch it in your living room. It's like a service.
Oh. Yeah, they were developing that with stuff. With Steven Spielberg and a lot of the other moguls were developing that.
And I was so surprised. I was like, I'm surprised these big filmmakers are okay with this.
Well, because this past year at Sundance, this was a huge scare because Manchester by the Sea, Birth of a Nation, Captain Fantastic, and I forget there were a couple other ones that are huge movies, were bought out by Netflix and Amazon in the first week, and they paid obscene amounts of money for independent films for them. They paid a lot. And so, like, they were scared that, like, we were actually scared that Manchester by the Sea wasn't going to have a theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And because people don't go to theaters anymore, they're like, if they just release it on Amazon, and you have to pay, like, a full ticket to see it, then people would rather do that than go to the theater, which is frustrating.
Amazon seems to be better at that than Netflix is. Like, I know Beast of No Nation didn't make much money, but Manchester, I think, is making a good amount of money because they haven't put it up yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Manchester is definitely making a lot more money than Beasts.
And there have been actually a lot of awards movies that I've seen that are Amazon.
What frustrates me, though, and even so, Manchester by the Sea won't get a big release. I wouldn't even dare to say a couple hundred theaters. It's not going to get a lot.
No.
And that's what we forget here, because we get to see everything that's in theaters, whereas when I was in Maine, I couldn't see shit.
Yeah.
And that's the weird, like, dichotomy, the two sides of it right now. I could see so many films right now. I have the time, and I really want to see a lot of these films, like, loving Moonlight. I never get to see in theaters. But the catch-22 is that they're really expensive here, and they wouldn't be in Maine if I was in Maine.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really can't, it's hard, because I have to pick and choose now what I want to see in theaters.
Yeah. I think now, though, like, with the whole Netflix and online movement going, there, like, so many things are based on subscriptions.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, you know, here you can do stuff like, I have MoviePass.
Yeah.
You pay $45 a month, and you get to watch pretty much a movie every 24 hours. But, you know, they count on people not going to theaters all that often, so they still make a lot of money.
Sure.
So they have things like that here, which makes it a little easier to watch movies, because if I watch, like, you know, 8 movies in a month, and I've definitely used more than $45. Yeah. But it just becomes that cycle of trying to, how do you get people into theaters? And because of that, and because not a lot of people are watching movies in theaters anymore, because people, so much piracy, and so people just don't pay to see movies anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's why they don't care about the American audience, because, yeah, like, you're not giving us money to make movies, so we're going to go to the people who do, which is the international audience.
Right, that's true. I get it.
It's funny. I have friends that still, like, you know, will go online and find something and stream it, and I'm like, I'm in the industry now, so I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
And there's an issue, too, with that, because it's a snake eating its own tail. It's just, because it's expensive, people are staying home more or wanting to rent more at home because it's more convenient. I mean, theater, yeah, part of it is theaters aren't as glamorous as they used to be because they've been around for so long. So therefore, you're like, I'd be rather more comfortable if I was sitting home, you know, watching it at my house.
I get it. I think for parents.
Yeah, that too.
About young kids. And I think that's what that program is mostly for. What I usually do is I usually go, like, first showing in the morning is pretty cheap. So I'll go, like, first showing is usually, like, noon, so it's not too early.
No, yeah. And that's why also a lot of the theaters here especially have renovated to have reserve seats first off, and also comfortable, like, reclining seats for two. So, you know, it's a popular date time.
Mm-hmm.
So going to see a movie with your significant other is now a date where you get to sit together, you get to recline, it's comfortable. Some places even have, like, food service inside. Yeah. Like, it becomes a whole experience. Alcohol.
Way better, but it's overpriced.
Yeah. Way overpriced.
$8 for a beer here? Are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here.
Like, yeah, $8 for a half a glass of wine. I'm like, no.
Like, you know, you pregame, you got the thing.
Exactly. I did that for Conjuring 2, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences ever. And that's why the whole 3D movement is so fucking huge, because you can't, not a lot of people have 3D TVs. Yeah. No one wants to buy a $60 Blu-ray to be able to watch it in 3D.
And that way with 4K, too.
Yeah.
And that's why you go to a good theater and you watch it in 3D if you want to watch it in 3D.
Yeah.
And you pay more for it, and that's the way the theater gets there. Not the theater, the movies make their money.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you can't be picky about all that stuff if you're not a part of it. Like, you know, if you're not paying the money to go see these movies, you absolutely have no say in being like, oh, these are the things that we want to see, because you're not paying for it.
Yeah. Have you heard of this service called VidAngel?
No.
No? I used it actually to watch Don't Breathe. I've only used it to watch horror movies. It's a service, and they try and make movies family-friendly. It's like a Christian service. It's really funny. And you have to censor out at least one thing in every movie. Wow. So I'm like, they sent me an email for a free one, and so I had to choose something to censor out. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess you can do this, because, you know, it's like free country kind of thing. Mm. But I'm like, I wonder how they feel about this, like, because you can censor everything in the movie, and I'm like...
Hmm. It's funny you mentioned what was the MoviePass you said?
Yeah, MoviePass.
Which theater chain is that?
It's pretty much anything other than Arclight.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So, like, AMC, Pacific, so any of the specialty Regal theaters they don't do, so sure. I can't go to, say, you know, El Capitan. It's pretty much any theater, all the small independent theaters too. Like, you can do Wembley, you can go to Arena, you can go to Egyptian, all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because my topic is going to be something similar. It is about brand loyalty or your preferred theater.
Yes.
Now, I moved here as of this recording, about 5 weeks ago. And I first stayed in an Airbnb in Whittier, and I went to some smaller chain theater. And it was really cool, and, you know, it was like an 8-screen theater, and it looked really nice, and it was good prices and everything. And that set me up for failure, because I was like, oh, this is not as bad as everybody says it is. Then I get into Los Angeles, and then the tickets are anywhere from matinee price $11, $12 to $18, and that's not including the service charge.
That's sad that that's matinee price.
For ordering online.
Oh, yeah.
For $2 almost.
Oh, yeah.
So MoviePass intrigues me, because I mostly go to the Grove, the Pacific Theater, just because it's closer to my place.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Arclight. If I could go to the Arclight every week, I would, or every time I want to go see a film, I would go there. It's beautiful. It's
totally.
And the Grove's Pacific Theater is not ugly in any way. It's great. It's beautiful as well. But it's just, I love...
It's not the same.
Yeah, the Arclight is, especially the Dome. So, because when I was in Maine, I had this theater I went to. So I lived in Bangor, pretty small town, one of the bigger cities in the, I say cities, like, it's funny. Yeah. Let's say it's a city. But one of the bigger towns in Maine, and they had a theater there that was overpriced and was overrated. And they kept, to their credit, they kept trying to do different things. It was once a Hoyts, which I think was, you guys might have heard this brand, maybe not.
No.
No.
It was a chain. Not as big as the other ones, like Lowe's or anything, but... But the theater I went to was in the nearby town, Orono. It was about 10 minutes away. It was Spotlight Cinemas. It was the only one of its kind. It wasn't like a brand in any kind. Mm-hmm. I went there because they had like a rewards program. You had a card and you put money on it. It was a gift card. They really didn't, for some reason, advertise it, but you would put money on the card and keep recharging it and get points to free admissions, free popcorn combos and shit like that. So I had a loyalty to them. And unfortunately, Bangor had more of the Oscar contenders than Spotlight. So I had to like pick and choose. I love being in here now in Los Angeles. There are a lot more options. You know what I mean? In terms of quality theaters.
Yeah.
I think... well, I grew up in Valencia, which is right by Magic Mountain. And there's only two theaters there, and they're both Regal.
Okay.
I worked at one of the Regals for summer. And then I moved out to Northridge, and there's an AMC, there's two Pacific theaters, and there's a Regency. And I'm like, well, shit. And so the Regency I go to when it's cheap. It's like $7 for matinee. I'm like, this is cool. And so I go there when I'm like, you know, just go see whatever. But the theater's kind of shitty. So if I really want to see a movie... usually go down to the AMC because it's, like, nicer and, you know, all that. But then one of the Pacifics they just redid. 2 months ago, they had a grand reopening, free movie weekend, and I was so sick. I had a fever, and I was like, I'm going to see a free movie. So I went and stood in line in the morning and just had my sweatshirt, and they had recliner seats, and I just, like, I went to see the accountant and took a nap in there because I had a fever. But I was like, this is so nice now, like, but they're still expensive. It's like, you know... you have to decide if you kind of want to see it and just pay a little bit, you know, you go to a shitty theater. But then if you really want, like, if it's Star Wars or something, or La La Land, you want to see, like, really nice, you go to the Arclight or, like, an AMC or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the AMCs are pretty consistently nice.
Yeah, they're fairly nice. And they also have a great rewards program.
They do.
Yeah.
I have a Stubbs card.
Yeah, Stubbs card is great. They have, like, the whole VIP thing now. So you get the free one or you can pay $15 a year for it. It used to be you have to pay for the $15 a year.
Can you do it after you bought the ticket and seen the movie? Like, I had my La La Land ticket from yesterday.
You can. You just have to give it to them and say, like... because there are times when, like, you know, the card doesn't read or something, things don't happen, and so, yeah, they put it in for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I think that's, like... L.A. has great theaters that have... they kind of try to get you to see movies. So if you go to the Sundance Theater on Sunset... they have Student Tuesdays where it's $6 a movie.
Wow.
And they're like, now... and they play a lot of the independent movies that they feel like you should see. So they're like, you have no excuse not to have seen these movies. Because it was $6 on Tuesdays. But on the other side, in Michigan, where I went to school, they had this chain called Celebration Cinema. And they had a whole art house theater. Like, they had multiple locations. And one of them had the foreign films and the independence stuff. And then the other ones had the IMAX. But their rewards program was free. And it was probably the best rewards program I've ever gotten. Like, in a year, I got their, like, VIP status. So, like, all the free screenings and all the stuff that they would do for... they would, like, invite me to private screenings and all that stuff. And I only got, like, 3 months of that before I had to move out here. And I was like, God damn it. But it was probably the best rewards program ever. And so here I feel like you don't really have a loyalty to a theater as much. It's kind of you have to follow the movie around because it plays in like different theaters.
Well, like La La Land played first in Arclight and a couple other theaters and that's it.
Yeah.
And so now, you had to choose those ones.
I think Nocturnal is only at Regal and AMC right now.
I watched it specifically
really?
3 weeks ago.
I mean, it first came out, it was only in AMC and Regal. It wasn't even at... Lemley, which is where they play all the independent
films. It's funny because they say it's wide right now, but I was looking to go to that Regency, the cheap one, and it's not playing there.
Well, like, I mean, like, in the smaller theaters like that, you wouldn't find independent films like that.
Yeah, because, that's true. Like, it doesn't make enough money.
Yeah, like, go see Arrival with Amy Adams, or do you want to see Nocturnal Animals with Amy Adams?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to choose Arrival.
Yeah.
So, but that is definitely, like, a whole other component out here, is that you have to figure out what theaters to go see movies at.
Have you been to MovieCo in Thousand Oaks?
No.
No? It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's a really nice theater. It's expensive.
Ugh.
So, I'm about to go watch a movie at AMC for the first time.
Really?
Never been to an AMC. I've been to a Lowe's. I'm not sure if you guys have been to a Lowe's.
I've not been to a Lowe's.
I don't know if it's like an East Coast kind of chain. It's a bigger chain.
I've never heard. I was thinking a hardware store.
It might even be part of
that.
Well, that's the thing. That's the funny thing. When I first went to see a film there, was in Connecticut, and it was I was visiting my sister and my brother-in-law, and we went, and right next to each other was the Lowe's hardware store and the Lowe's theater.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he would call Lowe's, like the hardware store, Louis. Just because, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I think they're the same chain. I think AMC and Lowe's are, I think, the same, maybe the same corporate head runs both. I don't know. But it feels like those theaters are a little more, like, lifeless in a way. You know what I mean? Like, they're more corporate, they're more structured. There's not a lot of character or personality to the those theaters. Would you say that?
I can see that. I wouldn't say it's a bad thing for AMC.
Sure.
I'd say it's more like you're comfortable because if you go to any AMC, they all feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like even then, some AMCs are, like, there are different levels of AMC. Like, if you go to, in Burbank, they have three AMCs right next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's one that's where all the big movies are and all the current ones. There's one that's a little bit more of the second run theater. And then there's one that plays some of the independent stuff.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So you have a good variety, but then they're all, like, within a 5-minute walk from each other. So it's really confusing when you first, like, open it up and you're like, I want to see a movie at the AMC Burbank. And then I'm like, okay, well, there's 6, 18,
there's
and
an eight. There's a 16.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know which one it is. And 16 is the big one. But, like, that one, the 16 has a bar. Like, they have the McGuffey's bar and lounge. Like, you go there and you get some drinks beforehand. Then they have what they call AMC Prime, which is, like, their bigger theater there with, like, the reclining seats and all that. They never play 3D movies in there, but then it's always reclining and all that stuff. But, like, getting into that theater, there's, like, a whole wall that curves, and they have a projection of, like, these, like, trees and things that you walk past before you get into the theater. And then they have an IMAX theater there. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they have, like, lots of options. They always have different, like, wardrobe pieces outside and things, kind of like the Arclight does. But then if you go to the one in Universal, they recently did a huge renovation, so they have the double seats and all that stuff. But before that, it was kind of a dinky little place with actually one of the only true IMAX screens around here.
Hmm. Is it still?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been to the Woodland Hills one?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty nice.
I will say one that if I had more money to my name, I would go to every time. And it's not in L.A. yet. I saw one in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
The Alamo Draft.
Oh, it's also
their opening one.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm excited. And that's probably be one of the exceptions where I'll definitely not go as much as I'd like to because it's, like, more expensive and you get to drink and eat meal. But it's one I'd be more loyal to go see a film that I really want to see because not only do they have that kind of opportunity where you can eat and drink, but they also do hand, like, personal edited segments about the film, stuff related to the film before the film airs. Their own thing that no one else does.
Wow.
What did you see then?
So I went to see Doctor Strange in Kansas City, Missouri. And which is, I think it's funny that Kansas City has one and LA doesn't, but go figure. But they had like a, they were saying how it was like the mystical arts and that kind of stuff. And they were showing Taiwanese and Chinese B samurai supernatural movies from the 80s and like segments about them and what their names were. And like there was one called Child of Peach. There's this massive peach that opens up and there's a child. So they raise the child and it's just like this powerful creature. It's bizarre. They also showed like, granted it was limited because of Doctor Strange, like the film or the live action versions of Doctor Strange over the years. So they showed all the stuff that he was in. And then all the animated versions, there was a lot more of that.
I didn't even know there was live action.
There was a TV movie. There was one they were going to make a film into, the Charles Band, who is one of the guys, he is the creator of Puppet Master, that shitty B-movie series I love. he had the rights to it. Or something happened. He was going to have the rights. He had a production, but it fell apart. Mm. And so he made a film very similar with the guy from Reanimator.
Wow.
That is pretty much Doctor Strange. So they put that in there too. It's like they showed a trailer of it. It's just like they had a lot more personality to the event. And they also have like they show like old school like animated cartoons before all that stuff started. So like they want you to get there half an hour early and hang out and then order your food and watch all this cool stuff. Yeah. And that's what I like. I like personality. I like they do something more. They really do appreciate the craft, or they, in a way, they honor it. And like everything on, you walk in the tile of the entryway, and there's like quotes from dozens of movies that are like
awesome.
Beautiful quotes, and just and they have these old school posters, like old school. They have events like every month. They'll have events. Like I get the newsletter, and they'll have like sing along movies, quote along movies. I mean, homages to all these different types of films, you know, whether it be more mainstream or more classical. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, because I think the one in Texas, they I don't know exactly how they did it or if there was something, a body of water near them, but mm-hmm. then they had like canoes or whatever, yeah. like yes. kayaks out and
for
they
watched Jaws.
Jaws. For Jaws. Yeah. Yes.
Wasn't it like, no, it was,
were tubes, like
tubes.
Tubes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's yeah. fucking terrifying.
I wanna, exactly. I was like, I saw that picture. I was like, I want
to
do this.
I
like,
think they paid somebody to list. Pull people too.
Oh, oh my God. See, like just.
The tug of people or swim by their legs.
But then on the other side here, they do have things like that. Like they still have drive-through theaters near here. Or really? Drive-in theaters.
They're really,
here.
Sure. Okay. They're really like sparse, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah they're yeah. very sparse. And then they do like movies at the Forever Cemetery, outdoor like projections and things like that. But they're not done by theaters. They're done by mm-hmm. different like vendors.
They're usually done in the summer. I know CSUN actually does a free one every week of the summer. They'll show like the biggest movies of last summer or whatever. Mm.
There are a couple exceptions. Like Arclight does have Arclight Presents. Which, yeah. if you remember, which yeah. I became a member when I first got here, thinking I'd go there a lot, and I haven't yet. But they have, like, screenings. Like, they're doing Die Hard for December. As a member, you get 2 free screenings to those presents, so I'm going to go probably check it out.
AMC does a lot of that, too. Like, okay. when Gene Wilder died, they were showing Gene Wilder movies.
That's nice.
Yeah. yeah. They also recently did, like, a 20th anniversary of Space Jam.
Oh, that's sad. 20th. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know. It's 20 years old. and, like, Lemley is doing Fiddler on the Roof. They do it every holiday season.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, we need to find out when that opens. But I think it's, like, more personal with all... It almost feels like they're... Like, we're a fan, too, kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and they curate these films. They curate these events. Like, there's, you know, half a dozen to a dozen events every month. So mm-hmm. they really do a lot of stuff, and it was to me there was an eye opening experience last summer where the Bangor Drive In it's not big or anything, it didn't really have a lot of, it had some mainstream shit, but they also had Throwback August, so every certain day of the week in August they'd have drive ins of old classics, and I watched mm-hmm. Jaws and the drive ins. I'd never seen those kinds of films on the big screen. That woke. Awoken me a sense that I need to see more old films on the big screen because that's how they were intended. And that's how almost everybody in that time frame watched these films.
I was trying to see Raiders this summer. They had it out on an outdoor thing and I couldn't go. And I was like, I didn't see it. But I really like, I mean, how Arclight does, they have like a person come in and like present the movie. I feel like that's really personal. And I love that.
That's true. I like that too.
Also, they're a lot more stricter about cell phone usage, and I hear that Alan with Drafthouse is also very strict on cell phone usage.
You get like one
warning. There was this guy in La La Land, like the row in front of me, his phone lit up, and it was like in the dark part, like in her singing. I was like, dude, turn the phone off. Like, really?
Because like you watch, and like if people are talking, they're a lot more strict about that at Arclight. You can actually go and get people, and they will talk to them. Because like. When I watched Nocturnal Animals, like, people were talking all the time behind me, and, like, the staff came in and was, like, flashing their flashlights around, and I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. At Regal, when I worked there, they're pretty strict on cell phones, too. They said, we do theater checks every, like, twice a movie, and we have to go in, and if we see anyone on the cell phone, we can kick them out.
Wow. But, I do like about LA theaters, just really quick, is that I've never been to a place where every time I watch a movie, people clap. At the end, especially. But I mean, it's like, wow, it's like it's cool to see like people like appreciate the films. And
have you only been to good movie theater?
Apparently. Yeah. Did you have boos and stuff?
No, you don't boo, no, but like nobody claps. People,
oh, okay. Well, I mean,
like, I feel like Arclight and Arclight like when does, it's like yeah. a, when it's a big, early, when it's a packed theater.
Early show. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like La La Land, when I watched it, there were a couple people who tried to, and then like it didn't catch on.
At the end, everybody's
clapping. In our theater,
really?
Yeah. After the opening.
And the credits. The opening credits. When I said La La Land, everybody's like, wow. I'm like, what?
After, see, I wanted to.
Yeah.
After the opening scene, everyone clapped. And then at the end, everyone clapped, too.
Yeah, see, I wanted to. And I was like, as soon as the opening happened, I was like...
Whoa. Yeah.
It's just such a weird, archaic thing that we used to do in plays and live performances that is kind of carried over in these more packed situations. It's just funny, like, interesting nod to that.
Yeah. It's
time.
Pretty cool.
But, I mean, that's all I wanted to bring up in the theaters. I love theaters, and we all do, of course, but...
Did they have, like, bigger, like, IMAX kind of thing in Maine, or not really?
No, the closest IMAX we had was about a couple hours away.
Wow.
And it wasn't an IMAX, it was, like, the 70mm true... It wasn't the true IMAX, it was just a bigger screen. I never even went to see a theater showing there.
I saw Revenant in Dolby Atmos, and it was, like, there were 3 people in the theater.
Damn.
It's like,
I need to see
Atmos is definitely, like, it's really cool because of how... great the audio is. It's sometimes a little too loud, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
This makes me want to think of every theater I've ever been to. I want to make a list about it, just the fuck of it.
I haven't really seen too many movies other than, like, outside of California or Michigan. Like, that's about it.
I saw Pirates 2 in Israel.
That's cool.
Funny.
There's Hebrew subtitles.
Yeah. funny story. This is just random about Pirates 3 when it came to China. Because, sorry, Chow Yun-fat was considered an expat at the time. And really? So they cut out all of his scenes with no explanation. Cut it out.
No.
Yep.
It's not good.
Pretty important.
And it was funny. Because it's like a 2.5 hour movie, and it became an hour and a half movie because they cut out everything else.
Plus, it's already confusing enough as it is.
I know. I watched it, I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. Just cut it out.
That's crazy.
That's fun. I'd love to see that cut.
I would love to as well. I didn't actually see it, but my friends went to see it, and I saw it in Korea, and they were like, "Yeah, no, they just cut it out." I was like, "Wow."
I'm curious, how much were movies in Maine?
So the Spotlight I went to because it was cheaper, but it had new releases. It had $7 for theater before 6 p.m. So matinee price essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays were $5 all day. Or, sorry, 6 and 8. Wait, fuck. It used to be 6 and 7, and then it was 7 and 8. Yeah, so 7 and 8, 8 for 3D.
Wow, that's so cheap.
And then at night... 8
for 3D?
At night, it was 9. At night, it was 9. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's what I'm saying. I'm really 16 not... 16 here for 3D. I know, it's fucking stupid.
16
I know.
To 16 for a regular AMC.
I don't think I've seen a 3D movie here yet.
The plus side of being here, though, is that the 3D screens and the 3D quality is so much better.
Sure.
Because it's expected here.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be that bad. I mean, I don't think it was that bad. They built it specifically for 3D, that new theater.
I've been to movies in Nebraska, and it's so cheap there. Every time I go to Nebraska, I'm like, we need to go to a movie because it's just insanely cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michigan was really cheap when I was there, but then I think they're getting more expensive because they did, the regular theater, I think it was like $8 a movie. But then IMAX was like $15. Like, here IMAX is $22-$23.
Man's is expensive. I looked into Man's. I want to see something in IMAX there, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to the Tarantino theater?
No.
It's like he owns a theater out here, and sometimes they'll do a double feature of like one of his movies or some movies he likes.
The Beverly?
Is that it?
Does he own the Beverly? I don't know which one he owns.
There's one that's like it. It's like a small one in at the Beverly, and they always do double features.
I think that's
might be that. Is.
Okay, see, because I saw Poison and Keanu Reeves about Idaho.
My Own Private Idaho.
Yeah, so with, that was a double feature.
His name? Phoenix.
Yeah. River Phoenix.
Yeah.
Ugh. The New Beverly. Yep. Yeah. I've heard about that too. The New Beverly being good.
I liked it. I've been wanting to go there.
Yeah.
Because he said he always wanted to work in a theater. He never got to, so he bought one. And I want to do the same thing if I ever get a chance.
That's also where they did Wings of Desire and the sequel to that, and Wim Wenders was there.
Cool.
And I just lost my shit.
I'm so desperate for a job. I'm actually thinking about applying to ArcLight because they're hiring like 15 people or something.
She said that they were hiring to me the other day. But we should probably wrap up this episode.
Yeah,
but we have to announce the communal movie for next movie episode. Next week.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do, Alex?
So, I think we should all go see Star Wars Rogue One and come back in a few weeks and talk about it for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, technically, it's next week.
It is. It's next week. You're right.
It's this week.
No, I'm saying it's next week that we're recording. We'll be talking about it next week.
Because the last one will go up Thursday. This one will go up Thursday.
Think fourth dimensionally. The train it's tracks will be there in 1985.
Did you say next week or next year?
Next week.
Because we're chatting about it next... We're recording next
week. Well, technically...
I'm
confused.
Point is, we've all seen Rogue One by now, guys.
Yes, we have.
It's really good.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I am sorry.
I like doing both. It's fun.
I'm not this stupid. I'm sorry.
But yeah, so keep an eye on that. We're going to talk about Rogue One. And I have a blog, guyonthewire.com. It's where I post this. I also do a YouTube show, We Need Movies, with my friend Brandon. When he moves here one day, we'll do other shows together. Right now, it's kind of just reviews at each other. So,
it's fun.
And, we're having other ideas, but...
Doggone movie and TV reviews. I do a lot of Netflix reviews.
Nice.
And I'm on Instagram, Tim Jim Lim Artist. I just post pictures.
Tim Jim? Your middle name's Jim?
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was joking in my head, I'm like, no way, it can't be Tim Jim Lim.
Tim Jim Lim.
But it is!
Tim Jim Lim Artist.
Very cool.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Follow him on Instagram. I have Instagram, I don't use it much, I should.
Oh, I use mine a fair amount.
I barely use Twitter, so I might as well just use Instagram.
I have like my Facebook and my Instagram linked to Twitter,
Smart.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.